Welcome to episode 216 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons Podcast. Into this podcast, we're going to be considering a topic that I'm going to be titling Finishing the Race. Finishing the Race. This will probably end up being a 2 or 3 part series. We'll see as the Lord leads us. And our anchor scripture is going to be taken from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 25 to 27. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Verse 25 says, "All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize." All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Verse 26, "So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing." Verse 27, "I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." May the Lord bless the reading of His word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, if you go through this reading, in fact, I think I'm going to backtrack from verse 24. So I read 25 to 27, but I think backtracking from verse 24 is very helpful here. So again, this is still 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. It's my prayer that will not be your portion. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So verse 24, and again, the topic is finishing the race, right? Because whether you like it or not, you're in a race. Our journey here on earth is a race. Our journey to eternity is a race. I know that many people in the medical field listen to this podcast. If you're in medical school, you're in a race. If you're in residency, you're in a race, right? So there are many different kinds of races that you have to run in life. It's just all a matter of, okay, where did I start? And what's the end goal? What's the end game of this race? Whether you like it or not, you are in some kind of race. And again, the fact that you start a race does not mean you're going to end it. So as you see many times, there are people that start things and they don't finish them, right? So the fact that you're a starter does not make you a finisher. A finisher is a person that starts, goes through the whole thing, and then comes to the very end of it. So we're going to learn a few things about races and finishing them. So if you look at verse 24, it says, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win," right? So we're going to consider that idea in today's podcast, right? Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So it's not everyone that runs a race that is going to win that race. It is not everyone that runs a race that is going to win that race. Everyone is running. Many people have the intention of winning. But unfortunately, it's not everyone that has that intention of winning that ends up winning. It's only one person that wins. So I think that illustrates something that I think is very important. Number one, the number of people that win a race are a very big minority compared to the number of people participating in that race. I'm going to say that again. The number of people that win a race a very small minority compared to the number of people that participate in the race. So how does this relate? The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen, right? The thing is, there's this whole principle of the minority that you can see in many different contexts in scripture. Like, for example, if you look at the prophets, Elijah was one of the few prophets left that had not been murdered or converted to worshiping Baal, right? And if you notice, in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, the only people that were truly doing the will of the Lord was Lot and his family. The remaining people in the town, they were not serving or honoring God. So Lot and his family were in the minority. If you look at the seven churches that were described in the book of Revelation, so Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, you'll see that there were seven churches that the Spirit of God wrote letters to. But of those seven churches, it's only two that God had nothing negative to say about them. They were all positive. They had passed the test of faith. If you look at the book of Daniel chapter 1, right, Daniel chapter 1, there were many Israeli boys that were drafted into the king's service as his wise men. But it was only four of them, Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that decided not to eat the food from the king's table. Basically, they did not want to eat the food that was offered up unto idols. So the thing is, you're going to see this minority concept operate so many times, right? Even the Bible says that enter by the narrow gate, right? For narrow is the way that leads to life. And there are few people that take you. See the word few. But then it talks about the broad way, right? You know, the broad is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many that go in thereby, right? If you're comparing many to the few are the minority. The many are the majority. So are you going to be part of that righteous minority that is doing the will of the Lord? That's the question I want to pose to you today. If you're looking at it from the perspective of running the race of Christianity, there are many people that have started that race. How did they start that race? They committed their lives to the Lord. They said, Jesus, have mercy on me. They said the prayer of salvation. But I'm telling you this, brethren, there are way more people that say the prayer of salvation than people that are going to win the race of salvation. Right? The fact that you have said the prayer of salvation does not mean that you're going to heaven. The fact that you were born into a Christian family does not mean that you're going to heaven. The fact that you do a lot of work in your church does not mean that you'll go to heaven. Mm-mm-mm. It doesn't mean that. And you're going to see why that's the case or how that could be the case as we go on in this series. Right? The thing is, you truly have to be doing the will of the Lord. You truly have to be obeying God. That's what's going to help you finish that race. The Bible says in the book of, I think, Matthew chapter 24, I think it's either verse 7 or verse 13, it says that he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved, right? So the thing is, when you make that commitment to Christ, it's not that, oh, okay, my life is going to become a bed of roses. That's unfortunately a kind of Christianity that's preached out there, where, oh, once you give your life to Christ, there's no kind of personal responsibility you need to take. Now, unfortunately, that's the kind of Christian life that the many, the majority are living. They try to live this, they're like, oh, I just want that badge of Christianity. But the things that come with it, the commitments, the responsibilities, the disciplines that come with it, they're not willing to do those things. All they want to do is just have that badge that they are Christians. But let me tell you this, having that prayer of salvation doesn't mean anything if you're not living out your, if your life is not being lived out for Christ. So again, I want to encourage you that, again, you want to run the race of salvation to win. Okay? You want to run the race of salvation to win. You don't just want to run it just because. No, you can run and don't win. You want to run and win. What's the point of running a race if you don't win that race, right? You may be like, wow, Devon, you're sounding really competitive. But no, if you're looking at things from a spiritual perspective, you want to run the race of Christianity. You want to run that race of salvation and win. You don't just want to run, you also want to win. Apostle Paul is admonishing you here that you have to run to win. And if you want to run to win, there are certain principles you have to engage with. As you engage with those principles, which we're going to discuss in the remaining part of this series. You're going to see yourself learning the things that you know that, oh, as I follow these things, I'm increasing my probabilities, I'm increasing my chances by the grace of God, by the help of God, by the mercy of God to win. Because honestly, you cannot achieve any of this in your own strength. But the Bible says, I can do all things, including winning this race, right? I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength, okay? Through Christ that gives me strength. So I'm going to go ahead and pause here. But the thing I want to do is, this race, you cannot even start the race if you've not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost like, oh, you want to run in the Olympics. No, there are certain things you have to fit. There are certain criteria you have to meet. There are certain qualifications you need to have for you to be able to run that race of the Olympics. Or say, for example, you want to do medical school in the US. You cannot just like go to medical school and start. No, right? You need to have like a certain GPA. You need to have like MCAT scores. You need to have all these extracurricular activities and shadowing to get it. So that's the same thing with this race. This race, the first qualification you need is that you need to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But after surrendering, there are other steps you have to take, right? And we're going to consider those steps that can help you win the race. So if you want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today, because Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, he died to set you free. He died to cleanse you of all your sins. So if you want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you were born in sin. Even if you were born in a Christian family, you were born in sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if you want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today, I would encourage you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess that I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Have mercy on me. Forgive me of all my sins. Save my soul. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Come into my life and take charge. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Lord, I pray for everyone that has just surrendered their lives to you, including myself and everyone listening to this podcast. I pray, Lord, that may you give us the grace to run this race and to run this race to win. Help us, Lord, not to be failures in our race of faith in Christ. Help us to be successes. Help us to win. Help us, Lord, to come out on top by the grace, by the power, and by the help of your Holy Spirit. As we consider this series in other podcasts, please, Lord, show us the way to go and teach us your true, genuine word. And give us the grace and the power to obey that word. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And for those that have also surrendered their lives to you, please strengthen them. Help them to start this race and help them, Lord, not to fall apart on the way. In Jesus' name. Amen. So for those that have said the prayer of salvation, congratulations, you're a child of God. There are three things you need to do. Number one, listen to episodes 96 to 101. 96 to 101 on the website. It is titled The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you specific things you can do so you can grow in your walk with God. Number two, find a Bible-believing church. Or maybe I'll say number two, find a Bible translation you understand. For many people, the New Living Translation is very understandable. Read it. Do what it says, right? Meditate on it. Think about what you've read and then write down action steps for your life based on what you've read. And then do those things. As you do those things, you'll see your life begin to take a turn for the better. And then number three, find a Bible-believing church. Not a church, a Bible-believing church. There are many places that call themselves churches and they preach things that are not consistent with the word of God. That's not a place you want to be. You want to find a place where you can hear the true, pure, undiluted word of God. The true, pure, undiluted word of God. So find a Bible-believing church, fellowship with other believers, study the word of God, do his will, obey him, and you'll see your life take a turn for the better. Until next time, have a wonderful rest of your day. God bless you. Shalom.